Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Sunday, October 11th, 2015. This is episode 1228. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Texture, the mobile app that lets you access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your phone or tablet. For your free 30-day trial, visit texture.com/techguy. And by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device at gazelle.com today. And by Epson's new EcoTank printers. With Epson's line of SuperTank all-in-one printers, you can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to find out more. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk about, tech. Computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smart watches and all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 888-827-5536, toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside that area. Why, it's simple. Just use Skype and call me. And it shouldn't cost you anything because it's a call to a toll-free number. 888-827-5536. Website, techguylabs.com. Remember that, actually. You don't even have to remember the number because it's on the website. Chat room links, previous shows, video, audio from those shows, questions, answers from those shows, and this show as we progress. Techguylabs.com. But I do encourage you to call because, frankly, you don't want to hear me talking for 3 hours. That'd be boring. I'd like to hear what you think, your questions, your thoughts. Don't know what to say about LastPass. A lot of people asking me about that. I've recommended for a long time that you use a password vault because it's too hard to come up with a truly random password and then remember it, unique to each site and program that you use. That's a lot to ask. No one can do that. You could write it in a book. Actually, that's not a bad way to do it. It's kind of inconvenient because you have to then open the book. It has to be with you at all times, I guess, because you when you're on the road and mobile and stuff, you need your passwords. And you'd have to, so you have the that must be a little book you could carry. Then you have to open it. You have to find the password that you want and then type it in. Be nice if you could have the equivalent of that little book, but more secure because you lose the book. Yay. I guess you could have some code that you use in the book, write it backwards like Leonardo da Vinci or something. But the book is pretty important. You don't want to lose the contents, all those passwords. So, and it makes sense. You could store it on a computer. Of course, if you're going to store it on a computer, you probably want to encrypt it so that nobody can read it. And then that means you would use some encryption tool and then some tool to unencrypt it. Okay, well and good there. Now, maybe the next step is, how do you get that not just from this computer, but to the phone and to the tablet and to the laptop and the work and everywhere else? Well, maybe store it on a cloud storage solution somewhere. Encrypt it on a cloud storage, and then you download it, and then you have it. That's good. It'd be nice if it automatically entered stuff. That's the browser does. That'd be nice if it could do that. Don't use the browser's password vault, by the way. I mean, it's okay. In fact, if you use Chrome, it'll synchronize, and it'll always work in Chrome, and the problem is it's not really secure. In fact, it's there in plain English text right there. You can see it. So if somebody can get your computer, if you get up and go to lunch and somebody sits down at your computer and they open your Chrome browser, they say, show me the passwords. There they are. You can even copy and paste them. So maybe that's not the best. You need a program to do that, a password vault. They're easy to use. They're inexpensive. There's a variety of them. There's even free choices. But LastPass, which is the one I've been recommending for years, just got bought. Yeah, nice payday for the creator, Joe Sigrist. He made $125 million. But now, as users, we have to say, okay, I trusted Joe. I mean, actually, we went to the effort of my security guru, Steve Gibson, who does the Security Now podcast with me, of actually corresponding with Joe, asking him how he did things, taking a look at the source code. Joe let him do that. And Steve was able to say, you know, definitively, hey, I've looked at this all. I've talked to Joe. He's got the right idea. He's doing the right thing. What Joe didn't tell us is that at some point he might sell the company to somebody we don't know, Log Me In, who maybe doesn't have the best track record in terms of its own software. Log Me In is a remote access program, was free, then they yanked the free, and then they've got bugs that have been there for a long time. Maybe they're not the best steward of their own program. They bought another program a lot of geeks like, gamers like, called Hamachi, and kind of rapidly disintegrated that program. So nothing against Log Me In, but it doesn't give me confidence, you know? Golly, what are they, you know, it's not like they can look at our passwords. That's the good news, is the way LastPass encrypted the passwords. And one of the reasons I recommended them is because I knew that neither LastPass nor anybody who might acquire LastPass could get the actual passwords, but they do have your customer information now. That happens a lot, doesn't it? When Radio Shack went belly up, they wanted to sell the customer information, you know, the battery club and all that information you'd given Radio Shack over the years. They wanted to sell that information to somebody who would presumably have used it for marketing purposes. And a lot of people got upset, including Apple, who said, well, wait a minute. Some of that information really is ours because people bought iPhones at your store, and we don't want you to be able to sell that to somebody else. It's just a mess. This is the problem with privacy policies. You may trust Google or Facebook, but there's no guarantee that they won't then sell that information to somebody you don't trust. So now we're in that. We have that conundrum. And I feel responsible. One of the reasons I'm bringing this up is because I've been the one who's been telling you for years, to use LastPass. So I wish I could come here and say, and I have a better solution or have a way forward, and I don't. I'm looking at, and it's not probably something I'll recommend to most people, I'm looking at using an open source program called KeePass that isn't as fully functional, but at least it's open source, not owned by anybody, can't be sold. You can look at the source code, make sure that they're not doing anything nefarious. There's a lot to be said for that, but it's not something I'm going to get my mom to use. She uses LastPass. It was hard enough getting her to use that. KeePass, it's just not that easy to use. And it's going to require additional effort because it doesn't do some of the critical things that LastPass did, like automatically bring your passwords to every device you use. That's kind of important. KeePass doesn't do that. You have to do it yourself. Figure it out yourself. I wouldn't want to make my mom do that. So we got to find a solution. And I will report back to you. By next week, I will have a suggestion anyway. And I do want to confer with Steve Gibson, our security guy, because I have no doubt that even as we speak right now, Steve is trying to figure out what to do. And I'm sure he will. I talked last time about the Steve Jobs movie a little later today after the radio show, but I'll play a little bit of it next week. I'm going to interview Danny Boyle, the director of the Steve Jobs movie. I have some questions for him. It's good. You know, I saw the movie. It's a great movie. It's a brilliant movie. Some are saying, I think Rolling Stone said, perhaps the best movie of the year. Not an accurate movie. In fact, not even close to a biography. So I guess the warning I would give you, and the thing that makes me a little bit sad, the warning I would give you is it's don't think of it as a biography. Just kind of see it. Pretend it's not about anybody you know or have heard of. Then it's a great movie. But the warning, you know, the thing that makes me sad is that I'm afraid people are going to say, oh, now I understand Steve Jobs. No, you don't. Now, it may be the case no one understands Steve Jobs, except maybe his most intimate inner circle. And by the way, those are the people who are most offended by this movie. They're really complaining, including his widow, Laureen Powell Jobs, who says, who's tried to stop the movie many times, talked, we think, at least two of its stars out of being in it, Leonardo DiCaprio and Christian Bale, just called them up and said, don't do it. She's not even mentioned in the movie. I think it was one of them. It's as if Jobs was never married, never had any kids, except the one, and it's all about the one that he did, had out of wedlock very early on and denied for some years. When I knew Steve in 1994, they were a very happy family. Steve, Laureen, his son Reed, who had was only a couple of years old, same day age as my daughter Abby. I got to read children's books to the two of them and listen to Steve talk about Apple. He definitely was stinging still from being fired. And Lisa, his daughter, was there and loved and a part of the family, which isn't the impression you might get from the movie. So I understand, with the little glimpse that I have of the truth, how different this movie is. But it's a work of art. It's not supposed to be true. I just hope that future generations don't think, oh, I understand him. I know who he is from this movie. That's somebody else. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll talk more right after this. Yeah, I'm for sure going to use KeePass as my choice. But the problem is, I don't know if I can't recommend that to normal people. I don't think. Lisa is in her 30s, and she's a writer. Reed is, well, he's my daughter's age. He's 23 or 24. And you know, he was a great, sweet little kid. Didn't meet the other kids. I don't think they were born yet. We're sophisticated users, Mike. That's a different thing. So this radio show, I have to talk to less sophisticated users, people who are less willing. Look, the point of this all is you have to make it easy for people to use strong passwords. It's not inherently easy. So we have to solve that problem. Otherwise, they're just going to use monkey 123 and problems ensue. Squirrel is not going to, even if the most optimistic projections wouldn't make it unnecessary to have a password vault. At some point, I think maybe we'll find a solution, you know, that's better than passwords. I think biometrics is a good start. That's why, at this point, I say if you buy a smartphone, you absolutely must buy a smartphone that includes a fingerprint reader. 1Pass is okay. 1Pass is good. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK. Leo, that's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Looking for your call. We're talking high tech. I answer your questions, take your comments and suggestions. Kim Schaffer is here taking your calls. Hi, Kim. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Very nice.
Very nice.
Lovely. We, I think, have calls from all over the world.
Yes. Well, partially.
All over California.
All over California.
Soon to be all over the world.
Soon to be all over the world.
Exactly. Who should I start with here?
How about Tom and San Dimas?
Tom and Sam Dimas. Thank you. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, Leo.
Welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Thank you very much. I listened and I waited to upgrade to iOS 9 on my iPhone 5.
Good man.
And I finally did it.
Yes, because it was 9 and then 9. And as we have said, 9.01, the first fix, you wait even till the fix of the first fix, 9.02, and then we're there.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
But what's happened is now all of my charging cables are, they say this accessory is not supported.
I hate it when they say that.
And, I mean, I'm using Apple cables. I'm using, well, maybe not an Apple cigarette lighter deal, but I'm getting these weird error messages, and only one of my Apple cables will charge my phone.
Isn't that interesting? Is it always in the car, or is it somewhere at home as well?
Well, I'm a truck driver, so I plug mine in, you know, and half the time it works, and then other times I get this message.
Yeah, and of course you can ignore the message because it still charges, doesn't it?
No.
But that's annoying, isn't it?
It does not charge.
Oh, it does not charge.
It does not charge. It says this accessory is not supported.
And then you know that it's not charging.
Yeah, I look at the icon and it stays the same forever. In fact, it goes down.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, because I'm running out of battery from time to time.
Gee, I don't know why an upgrade of the OS would do that unless the OS added capabilities and then noticed, oh, wow, this particular cable and this particular setup doesn't support those capabilities. So we're just going to say no. But if you're using Apple stuff, it should be okay. And I don't think it would matter that you're using this, the charger that you're using isn't an Apple charger. The cable's an Apple cable.
Yes.
I wonder if you maybe should get a new cable. Could it be the cables are a little worn? It doesn't seem like that has anything to do with iOS 9.
Okay.
I think it's a hardware issue, probably.
All right. I mean, I've cleaned all my cables with alcohol, you know, just to see if maybe one of the little things wasn't quite happening enough or, you know, and I read a thing on a blog that said pocket lint can get in there and stop the charging.
That happened to my son. It gets in the connector. It happened to my son. It wasn't charging. He brought it to the Apple guy, and the guy took some tweezers, pulled out the lint, and said, "There you go, no charge." So that's true. That's not an old wives' tale. I think though, what happens with the cables is over time they get flexed and they wires break or fray in there. And I would guess that that's what's going on. That maybe it's time to get a fresh cable. Anyway, try it. I don't know of anything in iOS 9 that makes it more finicky. I've seen that. Sometimes you get that message by accident or it's a spurious message. I've seen that happen, but not on a regular basis. So I have to think that's more of a hardware issue. Unless, as I said, there's some feature that iOS 9 adds that your cable doesn't support, but I can't think of what that would be. Because you're doing it in a car, it might be iOS is seeing that and trying to figure out how to get to your stereo or something like that. I doubt it. I would say almost certainly that what you want to do is at least try this. Get next time you're in a town with an Apple store, buy one Apple Lightning cable and maybe even one charger, Apple cigarette lighter charger. They must. Does Apple sell them? They must. And make sure that works. Somebody in the chat room, Kellen R., is saying, if it's under 2 amp, you'll get that message. So it may be that you're just not getting all the juice you're supposed to. That doesn't sound right. Does the iPhone require 10 watts? That doesn't sound right. I think you can use a lower amperage charger. I don't think that's a problem. In fact, I think the Apple charger itself, wasn't it 0.5 or 1 amp for the phone? Get a new cable. Almost certainly that's all it is. Got to be. Ed in Crossville, Tennessee, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing today? Good to be on the radio show again.
Nice to have you. What can I do for you?
I'm AK4ED, the blind ham guy.
Nice.
And I would just like to say that I am having similar problems with my cable coming out of my MacBook Pro.
Yes.
It's all Apple, and it didn't happen until 9.2. So
it just falls.
Is not alone.
It's the same error message.
Well, I don't get an error message.
It just falls out.
The phone.
It just falls out, huh?
Yeah, and I've called Apple.
It cannot be the operating system. It just cannot. That's a physical issue. Have you looked for lint in the connector?
I've taken canned argon or whatever that is.
Oh, yeah, you're a ham. You have all those tools, don't you?
And I've dusted it out. I've cleaned it up. I've polished it. I've tested it. The continuity is great. There's nothing wrong, but it won't work. And here's something else about AdBlockalypse, just for a second note.
Okay.
I'm blind. I can't see. I hate ads. I get halfway through an article. Bam, ad pops up. I got to start all over.
Because your screen reader goes crazy.
Exactly. But anyway.
So it's an accessibility issue. You have a very good claim to running an ad blocker.
Yes.
I have no problem with you doing that.
I don't have a problem with ads. If they want to run ads, that's great. That's how they make their money. They're allowed to do that. It's their business. But I'm, on the other hand, would like to be able to read.
Yeah, and you know, sites do have an obligation to make, and certainly an interest in making their content accessible. So they should be aware of this problem.
Yes, but anyway, good show, Leo.
Thank you for calling.
Just had a comment.
All right. Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. The feedback is great. And the chat room's telling me that this is apparently one of the problems that is coming up with iOS 9. So maybe there is something going on that iOS 9 has. It would have to be a bug. Not that the cable's falling out. That's definitely not on iOS 9. But this warning that this is not a supported device. Yeah, it's certainly true that you could have a bug. The thing is, it should still charge. The fact that it's not charging tells me there's something else wrong. There's something physically wrong. But we'll put a link, thank you, Slow-Mo, to the discussion thread on the Apple forums about this. Apparently, you're not alone. Maybe iOS 9.0.3 will fix it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, these are battery issues, and I have heard of these. But this, anytime you get a new iOS, there's a certain percentage of people for some reason that complain that their battery life just died. And this is a puzzlement. Yes, Burke?
Just a reminder that Chris Marquardt's
on. Yes, thank you. This is kind of not related. This is another issue. This is a battery issue. Yeah, iPhone is 1 amp. I know the iPad needs at least 10, but it wouldn't be, it wouldn't be 5. It'd be in both cases, they have to be 5 volts. It's the amperage it varies. You know, let's talk about next issue. I think this would be a good time to do that. Wait a minute, you say. What is this texture thing? Ah! Remember, we were talking about next issue. It was kind of like Netflix for magazines. They've renamed it to Texture, and partly that's because it has spectacular new features that make it the best reading experience around. So, hie thee now to texture.com/techguy. So here's the deal. It gives you an all-access pass to the world's best magazines. I'm talking great stuff like Fortune, Fast Company, Wired. Sure, that's what I read. And Us and People. And you know what's great? You got it all. So that's great. The automatic download feature lets you have instant access to your favorite magazines with or without Wi-Fi. So, you know, the main reason I read magazines when I'm on the plane. TEXTURE.com/tech guy. I want to download those magazines instead of being a big stack of magazines with me. Because, but you know, you have it on your tablet. That's easy. It doesn't have to just be an iPad. It could be your phone. It could be your Android device. I love, you know, so Rolling Stone, I don't want to subscribe to Rolling Stone. I don't read all the articles. But pretty much every issue, there's one thing I want to read. Texture solves it. Magazines have the same layout and pages as if you subscribe for them individually. But with Texture, you get hundreds of options, bonus features too, and it's a much better price. Take a look at the catalog. You'll declutter your life. You won't have all of these magazines lying around. You won't feel guilty about the trees. And you'll still get all the great content you want. Create your own library. Discover new titles. Read them anywhere. Stay on top of things. They have the new top stories and new and noteworthy sections. Those are updated 24/7. So it's like a little newspaper for you. Texture. And the best part is you can subscribe because I'm going to read Wired and Fortune, and you can really read Us and People. It's all there. Texture.com/tech guy. We got a 30-day free trial for you right now. 30 days of the best magazines in the world delivered right to your tablet or your phone. Texture. It's the new name for next issue. Texture, TEXTURE.com/tech guy. Kind of two names that belong together, don't they? Texture.com/tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Apparently, I'm now seeing a number of people reporting there are some sort of weird bug with iOS and charging cables that you're getting this error. I've always seen it from time to time, and it's, you know, it can be incorrect. I've seen it. I always use, I'm using Apple cables. So it's a bug, I guess, in the operating system. So, you're not crazy. You're not crazy. But remember, 9.1 is in its fourth beta and will soon be out. And then we'll have a new set of bugs to fight. I would be really nice if these companies would just kind of sit back and try to fix all the bugs before they move on. Wouldn't that be nice? Problem is, it would be an endless process. You'd never fix all the bugs, do you? Just kind of like try to get like 99% of them, maybe. And then you can get a new. Wait, we should make a rule. You can't have a new version until all the bugs are out of the old version. And then you should make it so that people don't have to upgrade to the new version. There's somebody who wants a nice, stable system would just always be one system behind, one operating system behind, right? If you know, get iOS 8 working perfectly. Just make it, rock solid. And then put out 9 and let people slowly, complain about problems. But the people who wanted a solid system, just stay with 8. And don't in any way penalize people for staying with 8. But then none of this is true. Apple always wants me to use the new thing. And then, of course, they put new features in the new thing, which does two things. It causes developers to use those new features and require that we use the new version of the operating system. And it adds bugs that were never there before. And it's just frustrating. Just frustrating, isn't it? Noah on the line, our next caller. Noah's coming from Chino, California. Hi, Noah.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, so about a month or two ago, it was like 2 months ago, I was, running the Windows 10 mobile preview on my Lumia 925, which was my only device, and I ran it for a little while, and then I decided to go back to 8.1, and which I read online that you could do with the device recovery tool.
Yeah.
So I did that, and as I was recovering, it was taking a while, so I was just doing other stuff, and I guess I must have nudged my phone or something, because the cable came loose, and I checked it. And it just got stuck on the red Nokia screen. I think it's the bootloader. I don't know a whole lot about phones. I'm more so inclined towards the PC.
Nokia swears. In fact, I had a Nokia engineer sitting in here because I did the same thing to my Lumia 1520. Nokia, and now I guess it's Microsoft, swears that you cannot brick a Lumia phone. You can't brick it. Nope, you can't brick it. There's always a way to recover it. Unless you've had a physical hardware failure, which apparently I had on the 1520, because I gave it to the Nokia engineer, and I said, okay, unbrick it. And he finally gave it back to me, said, yeah, no, I think you did brick this one. A brick phone means simply that you can't, it's done. It's a brick. It's as good as a brick. It's a piece of plastic and metal that can't do anything. The screen won't light up, nothing. Actually, the screen will light up. You can put it in a recovery mode. The trick is getting it to go anywhere past that. So you already have WPRT. I would get the Windows Phone Recovery Tool. We call it WPRT, those of us who live in it. Download the latest. Follow the instructions for forcing a recovery. And don't give up. It may take several attempts. But unless there's a physical flaw in the phone, clearly that's what happened to me. I must have broken it. You should be able to recover it. This is one of the things that's unique about these Windows phones is that you can in theory always jump into recovery and rewrite the firmware. I don't know. All I could say, Noah, is do some Googling. Get the latest version of WPRT, the Windows Phone Recovery Tool, because they keep updating that. Make sure you've got the right drivers on your Windows machine. It does require Windows, and just keep working. Keep working on it. What I ended up doing is sending my 1520 to somebody whose screen had broken on his 1520, and he just took the screen off of it and used my screen. At least it's kind of like a, organ donation. I did a screen donation. So that my phone did not die in vain. It's now living on in somebody else's phone. Better than just burying it, which is what I was about to do. Actually, I was about to burn it. So good luck, Noah. In theory, you can't brick it. You can't. You can't brick it. Charisse, Lancaster, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, Charisse.
Here I am.
Hey, what's up? Hey, wait a minute. I said hi, Charisse, and my phone woke up.
Oh.
I think you have to change your name now.
Why?
Because Siri thinks Charisse is Siri.
Oh, that's right.
I said, hi, Charisse, and phones all over the country just woke up and went, I'm sorry, Leah, what? Hello? Wow.
I feel so special now.
Oh, you're very special. That's pretty awesome. What can I do for you?
Well, many years ago, you helped me connect two monitors to my my Mac. I can't even remember.
I remember that. Yeah, and that worked, and it all worked, and it's working?
It all worked. I got the tech guy from our school to help us, and doggone it, it worked great for years.
Nice.
And years.
Nice.
Now, I'm trying to get my first laptop, and I heard you talk about this Surface Book.
Uh-oh. Now understand,
yeah.
I am required by law to run every operating system, to try every piece of hardware. It's my duty and my job, and I love it. I do not, however, that does not mean you should emulate me in any way. I am not a role model. And just because I think this new Surface Book is darn sexy doesn't mean it's a good choice for you. You like the Mac. Hello? What happened to her? She's got a red line. Did you do something to her?
Pick her back up.
I should pick her up now? I'm sorry, Charisse.
Hello?
Something weird happened with the phone equipment. Do you like the Mac?
I do. I really do. But, you know, I've had it since 2007. I've been a Mac person this whole time. And my problem is I'm an Android user, and I can't just plug my phone into my Mac.
Well, you can't just. It's no better on Windows.
Yeah. Oh, it's not?
No. Android phones are not designed to be plugged into anything. It's all supposed to be wireless.
Just to transfer information, you know?
Yeah. You should be able to plug it into a Mac exactly the same as a PC. Android is neither Windows nor Mac. It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
So that's not going to get better under on Windows 10. And I think much of your life would get worse, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
Don't be tempted by that sexy hinge.
I am.
Although, I have to say, Microsoft in some ways is putting the screws to Apple because I think it is the case that a touch operating system is okay, is good. I find myself after I use the iPad for a while, smartphones, I want to touch the screen on my laptop. And I don't think you'll ever be able to do that on a Macintosh. So if touch is interesting to you, if the ability to draw on it is interesting to you, it certainly is worth looking at. I would like you to try it before you buy it. And, of course, it's not out till the 26th. Apple makes excellent Macintosh laptops. There's no reason to eschew them.
Well, the whole thing, part of it is also I want to connect it. I still want a desktop experience. I want to get a television monitor.
Yeah, hold on a sec here. Okay. Take a break. We'll talk some more. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's an interesting question, isn't it? It's an interesting question. Hi, Charisse. We're not on the radio, but we're still talking. And
okay.
There's still people listening. So the other problem with the Surface is the Surface Book is very expensive. Of course, so is a MacBook, if that's what you're looking at.
Yes. Yeah.
I think the Surface Book you want is about $2,000.
And I expected as much.
Okay.
I did.
That may be true of a MacBook, too.
Right.
I'll tell you the advantages. We'll talk about advantages and disadvantages. Of course, the disadvantage is really more a matter of taste and custom, whether you like Macintosh OS or Windows OS. And that's really a personal matter because they're both – they do the same thing, and one's not in any way better than the other. Windows, there are more security issues, but I think that that's less and less the case. It's just because Windows machines are more predominant. And Microsoft has done a very good job of locking Windows down. So I don't even worry about that so much. I think they're equally reliable and equally capable. The range of software on both is very good. The Windows machines are better for gaming. Macintosh arguably is better for music and some other creative things. But the nice thing on this Surface Book is it's a very beautiful screen, 3,000 by 2,000, very high resolution. And it is touch and it has a pen. And for a teacher, that might be really useful. Do you use your laptop to in class, to show stuff?
I teach piano, and I take my tablet, and we play with lots of those little apps, to make the class interesting. So
that's interesting. So you use an iPad for that?
I actually use a tablet. It's a Note 10, the old one.
That's fine. So it has the piano apps that you want on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Music apps.
That's neat. I mean, Apple, you know, generally speaking, I always recommend iPad for music. And there's some technical reasons for that. There's a performance latency in the Android devices that does not exist in Apple devices. But since you're not performing with a band, you probably wouldn't notice that. There's some latency. So it'd be very difficult to use it's very difficult to use an Android device to play music with a band because you're like 1/10 of a second behind everybody.
Yeah,
but for what you're using it for, fine. And as long as the apps are there that you want, that's fine. I don't know. I think I immediately, of course, ordered the Surface Book. And I do believe that touch is a reasonable thing to want in a desktop operating system. And I think Windows 10 is pretty nice. But I think if you've used Macs all along, I don't see. I worry that you'll encounter, you know, a kind of a whole new world. That might be a little frustrating for you.
So is there a way to connect a MacBook to a television monitor?
Of course. Yeah, any computer can be connected to a television monitor. They do sell that dock for the Surface Book, which makes it easy. But you can get third-party docks for Macintoshes. MacBooks have HDMI adapters. The newer ones have Thunderbolt, which can be converted to HDMI. You plug it right into a TV. I use my, most MacBooks can be used with a variety of displays. That's pretty straightforward. So you want to sit down with a student and have the screen and use your, see, I think the nice thing about the Surface Book is you can pop that screen off and use it as a tablet. And I think it'd be really good for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you know if the music software you want? You probably saw the demo that they did of the what do they call it? Staff board, which is pretty impressive. It allowed you to compose in handwriting, and then it would turn it into an actual manuscript.
But no, I didn't.
Yeah, but
I really want it.
Yeah, hold on, we're coming back so we can talk some more about that. Well, that's exactly what Charisse is trying to do in Lancaster, California. She's a music piano teacher, and she uses Android tablets in her teaching, in her class, and Macintosh computers. But she's very tempted now. She's trying to make up her mind. It's time. She has an old computer. It's a 2007 Mac, and it's probably about time to upgrade 8 years in, and is very tempted by this new Microsoft laptop. It's the first time they've ever made a laptop. She says, and you know, I think Charisse, you might be right for now that I know you're a piano teacher, this might be a really good choice for a piano teacher because of some of the music software available for Windows. And you said you want to hook it up to a TV set. Now you can do that with any computer. So that shouldn't condition your decision. But I do think that the touch might be really good for piano teaching. You use a tablet because it has touch, right?
Yes.
I think this might be a very interesting choice for you. It's so expensive. I'd hate for you to buy without trying. So you might want to wait until after the 26th when they start appearing in stores. And I'm sure Best Buy will have them. And if there's a Microsoft store near you, there might be one in L.A. I can't remember. I doubt there's one in Lancaster, but you could see it there. I would like to have you see it first. And there's some really cool music programs. They showed one called Staff Pad that allows you with the pen that it comes with the Surface Book to puts a staff up, and then you start writing notes, and then it automatically turns it into print, an actual staff with actual notes, and you can. Yeah, I'm not a musician, but you can draw that line that joins notes together, and it would automatically do that. It was really cool, and of course there are other very nice composition programs on Windows, but they're equally. I think there's an equal number on the Macintosh. I think you should probably look at them, look at the programs you want to use as well. If all you're saying is I want to hook it up to a big screen TV, you can do that with any computer. It might be a little easier with the Surface Book because they support wireless display, which is if you have a TV that supports wireless display would make it pretty straightforward. But any MacBook can AirPlay. Worst case, cheapest thing is get an HDMI cable and connect it to the TV. But if you want to do it wirelessly, sit back. You just need to get an Apple TV, that little black box, that little puck that they get for $90, $99. Actually, it's $69, isn't it? and you put it under the TV, and then you can AirPlay whatever is on your laptop screen to the TV. And that's really easy and actually a really nice technology. Easier and nicer, I think, than the technologies Miracast and wireless display that are used on the Windows side. So that you're going to be able to do either way. Apparently, okay. Microsoft stores already have Surface Books on display, so you could take a look at it.
Yeah, but I do want the touch, so.
Yeah, if you want touch on a laptop, you certainly should look at Microsoft, but there are other companies also that do this. I have a Dell XPS 13-inch that has touch. Also expensive. I mean, when you get to that point, you're going to be expensive. I don't think anybody's going to have a better screen, though, than the Surface Book. That is a beautiful screen. So you know what? Maybe treat yourself.
Maybe. Well, I'll wait for you to get yours.
I'll give you a review. But remember, I'm not a role model.
Of course you are.
I have a problem. I like technology and I buy everything. So probably not a role model for a real world, but I always do endeavor to give you a real world kind of feel for this hardware, for whether you know how it will work in your experience. So I try not to let the fact that I have everything and I play with everything color my taste. In fact, in some ways, I think that makes me more open because I've played with everything and I have a sense of what everything can do. Anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Thanks, Charisse. Must be fun. She teaches piano with a Samsung tablet. That's so cool.
That's now, nice of you to say.
Yeah, well, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Charisse, Siri. So she says, that's nice of you to say. Charisse, Siri is speaking for you now. You couldn't make this up, folks. You couldn't make this up. That's nice of you to say. Helen is in Murrieta, California. Hi, Helen. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I have a big problem with my new iPad.
Uh-oh. What's the matter?
Well, I have my own Zoom modem, and everything else, everybody who walks in, and my phone and my computer all hook up to Wi-Fi. But my iPad will not. I take it to the Apple store and hook up to their Wi-Fi. What do I do? Nobody can help me.
So so you have Wi-Fi via this Zoom modem.
Right.
And how many devices do you have hooked up to this Zoom modem?
My phone and my computer.
Just two.
Just two.
Okay. Well, it might be. Is it cable, by the way? Is it a cable modem or is it? What is it?
It's a cable, Time Warner cable.
Time Warner cable. And did they provide the Zoom?
No, I bought my own.
Good.
I didn't have to rent it that way.
Yay, you're smart. So it's a cable modem plus Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Not sure why the Mac won't hook up to it. That's odd. Does it see the name?
Yes, it sees it and it keeps trying to think, that little circle.
And it just goes around and around and around and around.
Forever.
Round and around.
Turn it off and turn it back on. It does the same thing.
Round
and it's done. Yeah.
That's a puzzlement. Unless the modem is limited to the number of connections it can have.
But people walk into my house and they're everything hooks up immediately.
They all go, hey, I love your internet. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So did it ever hook up to that?
No, because my iPad is new.
Got it.
I got it in August. I've been fussing with it ever since.
Got it. That is a puzzlement.
It is.
I don't want to say go out and get another Wi-Fi router, but that might be the simplest fix to it. It may be something that's incompatible. Make sure that there's nothing to forget because it was never hooked up, but you know where it's circling, there's a little eye, click that and say forget this connection. Restarted the iPad. I just can't figure it out why your iPad is not connecting to that Zoom and everything else connects no problem.
No,
sounds like you don't have a password on it.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you should definitely put a password on your Zoom modem because other people may be connected to it. And
it has a password right on the modem, and I've used that password.
Okay, so you enter that password the first time you use it.
Right.
Did it ask for the password on your iPad when you first connected?
But now it won't even go that far. It just thinks. But the first time I hooked it up, it just said the password was incorrect.
Yeah. So I want you to go and forget this network. There will be an eye on that and say forget it, because it may be remembering the wrong password, and that's what the problem is.
Okay, so where is this eye thing you're talking
about?
So
wait, go into the Wi-Fi settings, and you're going to see the Zoom, and you're going to it's going to start to connect to it, and you'll see an eye right there on the right of it in a circle.
Are we talking about EYE or an I?
It's the letter I. It stands for info, and you click that, and you'll see a bunch of settings. That's what you're going to have to mess with, but I think the first one is forget this network. Because it may be remembering an old password, and that's why it's not working. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let me walk through this here real quickly. I can show you. Unfortunately, it's hard to show people things on the radio.
She said that she put the wrong password in once.
Yeah, see, that's what happened. She put the wrong password in. And it's now trying. It says, I know the password. No, I really know the password. I know it. So don't bother me. I'm trying to get the password. So we're going to go to the Wi-Fi thing. And you'll see next to any connection, there's going to be a little eye in a circle. Can you see that? I don't know if you can see that. Well, here's the FBI surveillance van. If I press that eye, you can join the network. If you've ever joined it, it'll say forget this network. And that's what you want to tap. So I can do it with this. I'll have to rejoin the network. But you see, I'm in this network. It says, forget this network. I bet you, if you look at your Zoom and you joined it, it will say, forget this network. That means you did have a password in there. It remembered the password, but it was the wrong password. If you forget it, it pretends it never saw it again. And then when you hit it, it'll say, what's your password? And that's what you want. Okay? That's what you want. So I think it's merely that you did log in once, and unfortunately, as you mentioned, you gave it the wrong password. So now what you need to do is forget this network and start over. I'm going to forget the FBI surveillance van ever existed. I think that's probably what it is. I want to talk about Gazelle. This would be a good time to talk about Gazelle. Getting a new, getting some of that new stuff. Maybe the new M9, maybe, or maybe you want, the new iPhone. Maybe you're looking at the new Nexus phone. But you got all these old devices gathering dust. You know they're worth cash at Gazelle.com. I want you to visit Gazelle.com and get a quote for your old gadgets. They buy used smartphones and other devices. They'll even buy broken iPads and iPhones. And then they'll turn them around, send you some cash or a PayPal credit or an Amazon gift card. That's worth more than 5% more. They bump it up. It's a great deal. Gazelle's also a place you can buy certified pre-owned devices. If you've lost your phone or your kids broke it again and you want to get a new one, each device is fully inspected. They're backed by a 30-day return policy. They're sold without carrier contract. They've got Galaxy phones, iPhones, iPads. And they come in a variety of conditions. You can actually get like new, but if you want to save a little more, they have some slightly used, which show just a little bit of sign of wear, but an otherwise perfect, because there's always got that inspection going, you know. And you can even get devices for your carriers that support AT&T and Verizon, T-Mobile and Sprint at great prices. Get some new stuff. Give new life to used electronics. Trade them in for cash or buy certified pre-owned. It's all at Gazelle. .com, kind of the one-stop shop for all your gadget needs to buy and to sell. It's Gazelle, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, Gazelle.com. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and home theater, tablets and smartphones, smart watches and fitness devices. 888-ASK-LEO is the number, 888-827-5536, toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. If you're in Canada, you know you can use Skype, you can call it, toll-free number, so it won't cost you anything with Skype out. 888-ASK-LEO, and don't forget the website, very useful. The website is a place you can go and you can really find out about everything we talk about here. Links to all the things I mentioned, the help articles, the products, the software, plus audio and video of the shows after the fact. It's all there, and you can add your comments. In fact, I want you to add your comments. If you have a better idea, suggestion, another question, techguylabs.com. And by the way, I know a lot of places, they charge you for access to stuff like this. Nope, it's free. You don't even have to sign up. I don't want your email address or anything. You just go. Just a free and open website, techguylabs.com. Shannon is in Bell, California. Sharon, our next caller. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, well, a few days ago, I have an HTC M8.
Very nice
phone. I like it. In fact, I think I got it because you said it was a good phone.
It's beautiful. Anyway. Isn't that what you have, Kim Schaefer, an HTC One?
Mine's the M7, though.
M7, the first one. She has the second one that came out last year. Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting the new ones out, too, the M9.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have a problem. All of a sudden, a couple of days ago, my phone started making like a notification, bing, bing, and it won't stop.
What?
It's just constantly doing that.
That's annoying.
What I'm doing, it's very annoying, very annoying. And I called the T-Mobile, and we turned off the notification sound in the settings and stuff, but it's still doing it.
Even when you have sound off, did you try turning on Do Not Disturb? I didn't try. There is a Do Not Disturb setting in the settings, unless HTC took it out. There is an Android.
I think I saw it.
Yeah, the first thing, I mean, but that's not, that would be a Band-Aid. We want to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah.
It is possible that there's something more serious going on that's not something trying to notify you, but software is doing something wrong. And that you can fix as well, but it's going to be, this is the last thing you'd want to do, but it's probably would fix it, which is to reset the phone, reset it to factory settings. And you'll find that also.
You can do that.
Yeah, I mean, on Android, it's not too bad because what you do is you go to backup and reset in the settings there. And you can you can back up everything to your Google account, which I would do. And that includes all the apps you've got installed and everything. And then you reset, it erases the phone and starts over. And I bet you that would fix it. Before you do that, though, you might want to just, I'm sure you've turned it all the way off and on, right? Not just turn the screen off, but shut it down.
Yeah, I had it shut down all night long, and then I turned it on this morning, and it's still doing it again.
Bing, bing. That's annoying.
Yeah.
Bing. It could be a hardware. It could be something in hardware. In which case, you'd bring it to T-Mobile, and they'll have to replace it for you. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, but I would try the backup and reset. Go in there, and that's the most draconian because you have to now set the whole phone up again. Did you ever put a launcher, third party launcher program on there, or just use the one that came with the HTC?
No, I never. Yeah. I never messed with it.
So you may be able to. I can't remember the Blink. I think it's called Blink. The thing that HTC has on there. You may be able to save your layout if you can. That would be a good idea before you erase the entire thing, because then it'd be very easy to get it back looking exactly the way it was with all your icons in the right spot and everything. So check in the settings and see if you can save that layout. All right. Bing.
That's fabulous. Thank you very much.
Bing. What could that? You're welcome. What could that be? I mean, it could be literally a physical issue with the phone, in which case you'd have to get it replaced. But I would certainly try resetting the whole thing first. Maybe just some software is bad and it needs to be replaced. That's all. Jim in Los Angeles. Hi, Jim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome.
A question about managing photos.
Oh, I love those questions.
Well, good, because my wife and I are cruisers. And what I would like to be able to do is to transfer my photos to an iPad, which I carry with me, and then annotate the pictures, and by that I mean description, if you will, not cropping or manipulating how the image looks. And then after I get home, transfer the pictures and the information to my computer.
Nice.
Now, I used to do this with a laptop.
Yeah.
Well, when I got my iPad, I figured I wouldn't take my laptop along. Now, what I'm using on my desktop, though, also is iPhoto.
Uh-oh.
And as you know, Apple screwed around.
Uh-oh. You see, it was all easy until you brought that up.
That's right.
Now you're throwing me a little curve.
So now you know what I'd like to do.
You can't keep using iPhoto because you probably have a late... did you update the iPad to iOS 9?
I have not updated to 9, but 8 did it to me.
Yeah, 8 did it too, of course.
Yeah,
so
eight
took iPhoto off of your iPad, replaced it with the new Apple Photos program, which doesn't talk to iPhoto.
That's right, plus the fact it doesn't allow you to do anything.
So you either need to update your desktop and start using Photos, in which case what you want to do will happen automatically. One of the nice things about Photos is it not only does it duplicate what's on your iPad, but it duplicates what's on your desktop to the iPad, and it even stores a copy of the original in the cloud, and any annotations that you add to it will be copied as well. But you have to use the same program. Now, the other way you could go, another way you could do this is with other programs. For instance, Lightroom. You could download and install Lightroom on your Macintosh. It's expensive, but you could do it. $200. And then put Lightroom, the free version for the iPad, on your iPad. And they will synchronize. So you could have a collection that's on your desktop will automatically synchronize to your iPad. You say you want to import the pictures from your camera to the iPad first?
Yeah, well, that's what I... in other words, I...
Photos will do that. I don't know if Lightroom will or won't. I think you might need to import them to the desktop first, and then it will automatically copy over to the iPad.
Well, but see, what I'm doing is on downtimes in the cruising is when I annotate the pictures.
Yeah, I do that too. So you've taken all these pictures in the day, and now you got back to the ship, and you want to look at them. Annotate them so you remember where they were, what was going on.
That's correct, and I don't have my computer with me to do that.
Yeah. And you have a camera connection kit for your iPad? Is that how you get the photos? Okay. I think Lightroom for the... Download Lightroom for the iPad. That's free. You could try it.
Let me ask you a question here now. I have held off upgrading the operating system on my desktop because I still wanted to use iPhoto.
Yeah, you might as well just forget that.
Well.
Bad news. I mean, it's gone. It's gone, my friend. And at some point, it's going to disappear on your desktop because you're going to update.
Well, that's true. But when I transfer, when I move everything over, in other words, when it goes from iPhoto to Photo, does all the information that I have already put on through the computer migrate over?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Apple would be, you would hear people storming the gates with pitchforks and...
Well, I know, because I got thousands of pictures.
No. Everything's saved, and it's better. You're going to like Photos better.
Okay.
It's at first confusing. The user interface is not obvious. They hide stuff in tabs, and it's weird. You might want to read an article on Photos. There's a great series at iMore.com by my friend Serenity Caldwell. Read some of those articles or get a book, because Photos, the new Photos, is... not obvious, but once you start using it, you'll see it does everything and more that iPhoto did. And frankly, it's the future, so you're going to have to do it someday or already, sooner or later. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So, according to a phone tech in the chat room, he's seen this ding, ding, ding happen before, and it's a loose cable in the... Mechman says, it sounds like a hardware issue. When I worked at Walmart, we had someone bring in an M7 that did the same thing. Our programmer guy looked at the phone and said it was a bad wire. So the phone takes a knock, a little clonk, the wire gets loose and ding, ding. I hope it's not that. If wiping the phone and restarting does not fix it, then that's probably what it is, right? I do the same thing, though. What we do, Lisa's really good about this. She'll take pictures. She'll copy it to her MacBook. That's what she did on the last trip. Then use Photos to edit them, clean them up, organize them. And then Photos will sync to the cloud, which is nice. So now she's got a backup and to her iPhone. So you're saying Lightroom's always been free on the iPad. Well, is that new? I thought it was always free. Oh, You need a Creative Cloud subscription. Oh, okay. So they eliminated that. That's good. No reason not to. You're going to really want Lightroom. I have the photographer's Lightroom. You get Photoshop and Lightroom for $10. That's right. And it's great, Ron. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Christine is in San Diego. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Leo. My question is a little bit like the last caller. I didn't update my iPhoto either because I love events. So I'm not sure if this might be my problem. I created a movie, an iMovie, and I wanted to burn it into iDVD.
Yeah.
And whenever I put the DVD in, it says waiting. I first asked to enter the disk, and then it says waiting to record. And then it spits it right back out, and it just will not let me record on a DVD.
iDVD has been discontinued for years.
I loved iDVD.
Where did you get that? So you obviously, but you know what? I bet you're not alone. I bet you there are lots of people who continue to use iDVD and iPhoto, even though they've been abandoned by Apple. I have no reason why to think that it doesn't work anymore, but it might not. You haven't updated anything else, obviously, right?
Correct.
And that we used to work with that DVD player or recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've created lots of movies.
And you've tried different blanks, right? Maybe the blanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the blank. Maybe it's just the 21st century calling and saying it's time to abandon DVDs.
So how would I record a movie on a disc?
You don't. No, nobody does that anymore. But you should still be able to. One of the reasons Apple discontinued iDVD is because they felt, and first of all, they stopped putting DVD burners in their computers. And I think they felt that this is just kind of a dying thing, these physical discs. But you're right. It's probably still the best way to share a movie with grandma on.
Exactly, right.
Yeah. So, and grandma probably, you can't give her a USB key. That's not going to work. And she,
right.
So I understand why you would still want to do this. It's a good way to share movies. There's something wrong with your DVD player. Is it internal?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Things can happen. They're physical, right? Any physical, one of the reasons I think Apple probably wanted to get rid of these things is they're always a source of problems because they move around. The laser can get jarred and be out of alignment. They could stop working for a variety of reasons. The mechanism is, it's kind of a wonky thing. You could, if it really won't work, it sounds to me it's not iDVD. You could, if you think it's the software, download Adobe, the trial version of Adobe Premiere Elements, which has a very nice burning system in it. It's a video editor plus burner. And see if you can burn with that. In other words, get another program to see if that works. But it's my suspicion it's not the software, it's the hardware.
Okay.
In which case, you can go to Apple or somewhere else and you can get a USB DVD burner and they'll just plug right in.
Oh, okay.
That's cheaper than trying to get that fixed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Apple makes a super drive. It's not, I think it's 50, 60 bucks. It's not much. That's actually overpriced, but that's Apple. You could get a USB. That one works best with a Mac. I don't know if the third-party non-Apple devices work with a Mac. It may well be they don't because Apple might not have drivers for them. But you can you can certainly get, if worst case, buy a new one, in fact.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Leo.
You're welcome. Try the software first just to make sure it's not iDVD. It could very well be. That, it's just given up the ghost. Apple hasn't supported it in a number of years. There have been no updates. It may just not work anymore. But I think it's much more likely DVD drive is seen better times. This is a kind of a conundrum. I mean, most of the time nowadays what we do is we make the movie and we put it online somewhere for grandma to download and play. You could also distribute it on, a hard drive or in a USB key. It's certainly a lot easier than burning a DVD, but for a lot of people, burning it to a disc and then mailing the disc to family and friends, that's a good way to do it. So I'm at the chat room saying that they have used other companies' DVD burners with the Macintosh, Asus, Samsung, and those might be cheaper. Apple always charges a premium for its hardware. So it might be cheaper. You probably could get a USB. What you want is a USB DVD burner. You probably get it for $30. Seriously, they shouldn't be expensive. Robert in La Puente, California. Hey, Robert, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling. What can I do for you?
Well, all my recording and play equipment uses a component video out, and I'm trying to figure out how to go to HDMI from there.
Yeah. So component is the last bastion of analog.
Right.
You know, we finally moved to a digital domain, but, you know, composite and component are analog connectors. And so what you'll need is not, it's, in other words, it's not a simple thing that changes the connector from RCA to HDMI. It's actually going to be an active box that that is digitizing the analog signal it's getting from the component connector. And that's not going to be cheap. You're buying, in effect, a digitizer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What is the device? The output device.
I've got a. You mean what the brand is?
Yeah. Well, no. But just what are you connecting the? What is delivering the component content?
I've got a.
Is it a DVD player or is it a?
But it's a record and play where I can edit commercials.
Got it.
And I'm just trying to hook it up to the HDMI.
Yeah, and so there's another reason why they don't have HDMI, and it's called copy protection. They don't want you to have, they probably don't want you to have a high-quality digital copy of that. So what you may find is you get a converter and stuff, and it doesn't work because it's got MacroVision on it, it's got copy protection on it. Is it from a DVD, is it like a dual DVD recorder player?
No, it's actually
VHS.
It's HDD. It's a hard disk drive that
okay.
I can record and play.
Yeah. And see, the industry does not want you to have digital out of that because they're afraid that you will take the ads out, put it on a DVD, and sell it on a blanket on your lawn. And so,
yeah, I can take the commercials out.
Yeah, they don't want you to do that. So it might be not enough just to buy a converter, but you could try it. There may not be any copy protection on that component out. If there's not, then you just buy a component to DVD. Go to monoprice.com or component to HDMI. You may find though that there, because of copy protection, is going to be your bete noire here. It's going to be your stopping point because. It may be that the TV won't play it because it'll say, oh, that is illegal content. There may be issues all down the line.
Yeah, everything I get from antenna. And so far, I have 1394 FireWire out, but I've never had much connection.
Good news is the FireWire is digital. It's already done the conversion. So yeah. FireWire to HDMI is going to be cheaper and easier to find. So try that.
Okay.
Now, if it's really FireWire out, a lot of times they put FireWire on these boxes. They didn't do anything. It was a service port. It was just there because they had a cutout for it. So it may not be alive. But if it's alive, if there's data coming out of the FireWire, that would be the easiest way to get to HDMI. But good luck because copy protection's a bear. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So it's great because it's uncopy protected because it's OTA. You're getting it from the antenna. And you're recording it. Is it a Channel Master? What are you using? What's the recorder?
It's a Pioneer.
Pioneer. It's great. Don't get rid of any of this stuff because nobody's going to make this ever again. So,
yeah.
So you've got the best quality HD TV coming in over the air, ATSC, into this box, and then the hard drive's recording it. So it's digital. It's all digital at that point. And the reason that they kind of give you a component is because there's no copy protection on it. They don't have to worry about it. But as soon as you go to HDMI, now they have to support the high HDCP, the premium content copy protection. And so you wouldn't be able to, for instance, get an HDMI out of that box, I think, and put it into a modern TV. I think it wouldn't work. You can do it with component because there's no copy protection on it. So you're gonna I don't know for sure. But certainly, it would be, if, do you know that the FireWire does anything?
I tried going to a VCR that had FireWire in, and I got nowhere. So
yeah, it's a lot of times on these boxes they have a cutout. They might even have a connector, but it's not connected to anything. So it's not a guarantee. I would look at the spec and see if you had if you knew there was data coming out of that FireWire port, that'd make it very easy. Otherwise, you know what? There's a $40 box on MonoPrice. Chatroom just gave me component video. By the way, you need to get audio on it too, right? Because if component doesn't have audio, HDMI does carry both. So this is a component video plus digital coaxial and digital optical audio THDMI converter. It's $40. But you're going to have sync issues with the audio, right?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Oh, SIIG is another good product name for this company for this, yeah. SIG. What I would do before you buy anything is go into the forums, maybe at avsforum.com or somewhere like that, and see who's done this with that Pioneer. Because what you have, though, I understand what you want to do.
Yeah.
In fact, what you'd really like to do is take the recording on that hard drive and maybe put it on a DVD or something and play it.
Yeah, I do that now.
Yeah. Because you have the best quality HD that's made right now coming out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the issue is going to be I would look this up. You're going to have to sync audio and video. That's tough because audio comes on a different channel than the component. And so they're not going to necessarily be in sync. Some better TVs can do, have a little setting where you slow down the audio so it matches the video. And then there may be content protection involved. The TV may reject it saying, I don't know, I can't play this back because you are not compliant with federal regulations.
Yeah.
So this is one where you go to the forums when you want to do something like this, and especially AVS forum, and search around. And somebody has that box and is doing that. And there's also, there'll be three other people saying, how do you do that? And what you want to do is take advantage of their experience on this one.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's kind of you're using what we call the analog hole, the last kind of contact protection free bastion. That's going to be patched up soon. You know, everything will be prevented.
Well, I know if I buy a DVD, I can't record to the unit. I know that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
it won't accept the recording.
That's CSS. That's another content protection scheme. Hey, good luck.
I got a VCR that's old enough to do it.
Yeah, but that has MacroVision, which was easy to get over. Hey, I got to run. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's see. Bill's next. On the line from Calamasa, California. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Leo.
How are you, sir?
Very good, sir. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Got a weird problem on my old iMac maybe you could help me with.
All right.
It's almost 7 years old. That in itself is weird, but...
Well, tell me the form factor. It's not the lamp version of the iMac. 7 years old. No,
It's the flat 20-inch.
Yeah, those are nice.
It's got the Intel chips in it.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, down at the bottom of the screen, there is, your toolbar.
Yeah.
The icon for dashboard has disappeared.
It's all just a question mark?
No, it's just blank. I mean, all the others are there, iTunes and GarageBand.
So there's a hole in the dock where it was?
No, it's just kind of closed up.
Oh, it's gone. Okay. Yeah, you can. And in fact, in the early versions of the operating systems, it was a little too easy. Drag an icon out of the dock, and it does a little poof and disappears.
I was wondering if maybe I inadvertently told it to go bye-bye.
You probably dragged it out of there, yeah. Easy enough to put it back.
Where do I go to find it?
I'm going to look, but I would guess it's in the Applications Utilities folder. Inside Applications, there's a folder called Utilities. Let me just look. And, of course, I'm using...
Systems Apps?
I don't see Dashboard
System Preferences? No.
Nope, it's just in the regular application folder. It's an app. So what you'll do is you'll open the Applications folder up, and find dashboard, and then just drag it down to the dock, and it will actually just go in there. You're making an alias, which is nice. You know, you don't want to, and this is a little confusing. Apple is not making this clear. You wouldn't want to just drag it to the desktop, because that would actually be taking it out of the application folder, and you don't want to do that. But it turns out when you drag it to the dock, Macintosh goes, oh, you want to make an alias and stick it in the dock, and that's what you're doing right there.
Okay, and so it's a drag and drop.
Basically. It's just drag and drop it right to the dock. The other way you can do it that's maybe even a little more easier and intuitive is run dashboard. I guess you can't see the dock when you got the dashboard running. Never mind. Some applications, you just run the application, and then it shows up in the dock because all running applications are in the dock. And then
that might be it then. See, I didn't realize you could even make it disappear.
Yeah, you just drag it out and you get poof. In fact, that's such an easy thing to do and confused so many people that in the more recent versions of OS X, starting with Mavericks, they made it much harder. People like me are kind of like, what? I have to drag it all the way to the other side of the screen to get rid of it now. So, yeah, just add it. You can re-add it to the dock. It's just an alias, and then it'll be there.
Well, I sure appreciate it because I didn't know where to go.
How do you? Yes. No, you know what? This is a perfect call because a lot of people would just go, I don't know, and shrug their shoulders and live with it.
Well, I did that for a few days.
Yeah. Most of the time with computer, there's a threshold. If it's not annoying enough, we won't fix it because it's really annoying and hard to figure out how to fix it. So we put up with a lot of these.
It's nice. You don't have to have it. But it's
yeah. So what happens is death by a thousand cuts. You have a lot of little things that don't work on your computer, and it's an unsatisfying experience. So I'm glad you called, and I'm glad we could fix it because you shouldn't suffer. You shouldn't put up with it. But the problem is, of course, it's so hard sometimes to find the answer to these questions. You might not even know what to ask. Roger in Alabama, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Leo. I've been listening to your program, and I'm kind of one of these low-tech guys with computer.
That's fine. That's my mission is to get everybody up to speed here.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, you mentioned some time back about a... the lady that answered the phone may have already answered the question, but I want to make sure.
She's a smart lady. Kim Schaffer probably just helped you do this already. But what the heck?
She may have. All right. But what it is I wanted to get something that won't break the bank. We know about, Apple's kind of expensive. I wanted to get something that I can just, use on the net, and I want to put a music recording program in for music. And I might put a few pictures and stuff in, but I think it was the Chromebook that you.
Yeah. When you say music recorder, what do you mean? Are you you're not making records, are you?
Well, yeah, kind of like how you record your guitar and your drums, and you make tracks for music.
Yeah. So okay. So you can do that on a Chromebook. So let me explain a little bit. The Chromebook is great for somebody who doesn't want all the complexity of a full-blown operating system, but they want to surf the internet, they want to answer email, they want to save pictures, review pictures, things like that. But where the Chromebook starts to fall down in two places. One, it really needs an always-on internet connection. It's great for the home. It's great for school because you always have internet access. Not so great on a plane. That's one. And the other one is it's not so great for higher-end applications. I wouldn't record a great symphony on a Chromebook. You need a more general-purpose computer and more general-purpose recording tools. Having said that, there are quite a few programs that will work. Here's the test. Do you have a computer now? You said you have an old Mac.
I have an iPad.
Ah. Well, that's, by the way, great for recording. Have you tried GarageBand on your iPad?
Heard of it, but no, I actually haven't.
Yeah, it's an Apple application. Now, what you'll want to do is get some hardware so that you can record. I recommend and I use a microphone from Shure. It's a little expensive, $150, called the SM77. I think is it 77 or 88? Anyway, it's the SM. I'll look it up. Maybe it's the 88. It plugs into the Lightning port on your iPad and gives you very high-quality stereo recording capability.
Interesting.
Now, if you want to record a guitar, you can get a guitar interface that, you know, that you can then use a pickup on the guitar and record it. That's specialized. There are other ways to do it. But you should take a look at GarageBand. You've got on your iPad a tool that many musicians use to record music.
Okay.
So that's a good start. There are programs. If you want to see if a Chromebook would work for what you want to do, the best thing to do is basically all a Chromebook is Google's Chrome browser. And anything you can do with an extension in the Chrome browser, you can do on a Chromebook. So there are 7 or 8 extensions that allow you to record music in the Chrome browser. Like Soundtrap is one. They're generally free. But whether it will do exactly what you want to do, I don't know. But the nice thing is you can try it on any computer that has Chrome on it. You just install the extension and play with it and see if it'll do what you want it to do.
Okay. Now, can I get you with one more quick question?
Sure.
Okay. I've got, of course, got this iPad and I have a song TV now, and it's got YouTube. I like to watch a lot of music stuff. And is there any way that I can, like, almost use my iPad rather than, you know how you have that board on the TV, and it takes forever to go around and type something in?
Yeah.
And I don't know any other way.
Boy, that's the worst interface, isn't it? Some TVs allow you to connect Bluetooth keyboards. If you had a Bluetooth keyboard and your TV supported it, you could use that instead. Some TV devices will allow you to pair Bluetooth, like the Android TV-based devices like the NVIDIA Shield will let you use a Bluetooth keyboard. That's a lot easier. The iPad is not a Bluetooth keyboard, though, so the only thing that might work with an iPad is the Apple TV. Nothing else would. Take a look at GarageBand on your iPad. You may already have the best recording studio on your iPad you ever saw. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. No, it's the SM88, I think. And it's I just got it, and it's super sweet. And I highly recommend it. Nope, that's not it. That's the VP88. That's the VP88. I'm not talking the SM58. Oh, no, it's the XM. What am I saying? Oh, what is it? Oh. Yeah, these Motiv microphones. MV88. Sorry about that. I'm thinking of the SM58. So this is the new Motiv line of microphones from Shure. And this is an amazing mic. So it goes right in the lightning port. Oh, these are cool, too. Look at that. Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, mama. Can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile. So I bought this because what I wanted is something that I could record good quality audio when I have on my iPhone when I'm recording video. But this is kind of cool. Large diaphragm condenser mic. This isn't lightning based though, so that's different. These are USB, I think. Let me see. That looks cool. Oh, it does have a lightning cable. All right. And this Motiv app is awesome. So I'd get the MV88. I did show it off on iOS today last week. This is so portable and compact and does such a good job of recording. And plugs right in, so it's very easy. Our show today brought to you by those great folks who have reinvented printing technology. I'm talking about Epson. Man, what a bold stroke with this new EcoTank. I like inkjet printers, and I love the Epson Precision Core technology, the 40 million drops of ink a second, the speed of it, the quality of the printing and stuff. And then they do this, and it's like this is a no-brainer. The EcoTank printer, it's a wireless all-in-one printer based on Precision Core technology, but it doesn't use ink cartridges. Now, for some people, for light use and stuff, ink cartridges are fine. Or they're great. But if you are in an environment like an office, a small business, if you do a lot of printing, this is brilliant. The ET4550 is one of many. If you go to Epson, EPSON.com/ECOTANK, EcoTank, you can see the whole range of EcoTank printers. But the 4550 is an example. And Epson took a chance because, you know, this comes with 2 years, about 50 ink cartridge sets of ink in the box. 8,500 color pages in the box. 11,000 black pages. Now, of course, it costs a little bit more. And so some people say, well, I just want the ink cartridges. I'm going to get the least less expensive Precision Core printer. And that's fine. But it's going to save you a huge amount over those 2 years because it uses ultra-low-cost replacement ink bottles. It doesn't use cartridges. You got 2 years in the box. You got to factor that into the cost, and I think it's amazing. High speed, vivid colors, laser-quality black text, auto two-sided printing. It's got a 30-page auto document feeder that works great. And it's wireless printing from tablets and smartphones. It supports Google Cloud Print. It supports Apple's AirPrint technology. I actually scan to the cloud with my Epson. I love these printers. And now with the EcoTank, you don't have to worry about running out of ink ever again. Love it. I want you to check it out. Epson.com/EcoTank. It will transform the way you think about printing for home, for office, for work group, for speed, for quality, and now for value. Epson.com/EcoTank. We thank them so much for their support. Epson, exceed your vision. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Evan is on the line from Santa Clarita, California. Hi, Evan.
How you doing, Leo?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Nice. What's up?
Well, I have an old MacBook Pro 17-inch dual-core that I'm running boot camp with both Mac OS and Windows 7 Pro.
Nice. I'm sorry. I keep saying nice. I'm going to stop that.
So, the Windows side is all kind of dedicated to CAD-based and like 3D modeling software.
Hmm.
And
how's it run? It runs pretty well, right? I mean, I think it was Walt Mossberg when he was at the Journal said the Mac is the best Windows machine he ever owned. When you run it in boot camp, you're running it on bare metal.
Well, I even went a step further. But back when I first got it, I actually, in the gaming world, I put Crysis on there.
Wow.
Which, yeah, in the PC side. That's
a very demanding game. Yeah, that's kind of the benchmark game. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew it was a good idea at the time. But anyway, it's pretty old now. I've replaced the hard drive twice. There was a problem with the motherboard where I got a free upgrade from Apple.
Nice.
That's their soul.
That was the one where the video graphics issue?
Yep.
Yeah. So they did a recall and they fixed everybody's motherboard. That was nice.
And they did. And they honored mine even though it was out of warranty.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So I've got kind of an extended lease on life with this thing. But it's a monster. I love this thing, but I know it's probably time to start looking for something new.
Well, there's always a new monster available.
Yeah, what do you recommend?
Well, you're happy with the Mac, and I think as you figured out for running Windows, you know, the only exception is they maybe don't have the latest greatest standalone GPUs. So you were able to run Crysis, but of course it would run better on a Windows laptop designed to play games because they'd probably have a mobile NVIDIA chip in there. It might even be a better one than comes in the Mac. However, I mean, I think Macintosh, they're the only computers that can do both OS X and Windows 10. So that's a real advantage. I like Macs. I think they use high-quality components. Now, you might want to wait because I think any minute now Apple's going to announce probably they'll do it with a little slipstream upgrade, a Skylake version of the MacBooks. That's the newest sixth generation Intel processor, and you might as well wait for it. It's not, I don't think it's, from the benchmarks I've seen now, I don't think it's going to be hugely faster or more efficient than the current Broadwell processors. But, if you're going to buy a new one, future-proof it by buying the latest the minute it comes out. And that should be, I would say, in the next month or so. So if you can wait.
I guess one of the things I'm trying to lean on you for is if you've heard of anything where they might be going back to a larger screen.
No, they've been pretty clear.
In the 17.
Yeah, you won't see another 17, I think. I think once they killed that, that was the end of the line. I don't think there's any reason to go back. What they'd like you to do is hook it up to a, and you can do this with any MacBook, big screen at home, right? Get a 27-inch monitor and just plug it in when you get home.
Yeah, but that doesn't help me at Starbucks.
Not at Starbucks. You know, you really, the people with 17-inch laptops really stand out at Starbucks. I don't know if you've noticed that. Why is that guy looking at a pizza box? Oh, it's his computer. Okay.
Yeah, no, I just sit in the corner.
Yeah, but I understand. You're kind of spoiled. I think what happened is the market just went to thin and light. And and battery life is, you know, suffers from the size of the screen and all of that. They have beautiful high-res screens. I mean, they're really high-res now. Higher res than your old 17. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if a Retina MacBook 15 had more pixels on it than your 17.
Okay.
So you might, take that into consideration. They're putting a lot more pixels on the screen than they used to.
Sure.
That doesn't help you. It means that you're going to have as high a resolution game, but it's going to be smaller. Just get closer, right. You know, sit right next to the screen. It will look as big as your 17-inch. Yeah.
Well, considering my case, then you would probably still think to stay with Mac.
And that's right. You can get 17, especially if you're a PC gamer. And also the 3D design stuff you're doing is very demanding. Looking at some of the high-end 17-inch Windows machines, you'd be giving up anything that you run on OS X. You just don't count on running OS X on a Windows machine. I know people say, oh, you can hackintosh it and stuff. You
yeah, can't. No, I wouldn't
no,
want to do that.
Don't. Uh-uh. So
But I'm also an advocate. I'm a fan of Apple. I understand the hardware. You know, I don't want to.
They make good stuff.
Sacrifice on the hardware and sacrifice on customer support too.
Yeah, they make good stuff. I'm really, if you want 17, there's a few companies still. Dell still makes a 17. The Asus ROG Republic of Gaming gamer laptops. They still have a 17-inch model. Those things are beasts. They have dual NVIDIA graphics chips in them. I mean, those things are beasts. You're giving up anything that you want to run OS X on. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Windows machine now. Maybe that's not the end of the world for you. I don't know. I think if you want a 17-inch display, you're going to say goodbye to Apple.
I want my MacBook Pro.
Get a 15. You know what? The new high-res 15-inches are really nice.
All right. I'll take a look at it. Thanks, Leo.
You're welcome. Yeah, go to the Apple store. You might be surprised. I know. You know, it was actually a surprise to people when Apple killed the 17-inch MacBook Pro. It was a very popular machine. Video editors loved it because they need that real estate. But I do think with the extra resolution of the newer displays, you know, you're getting that real estate. It's just a little, it's smaller, that's all. To San Jose we go. Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Man, you're a national treasure. I've been following you since Screensaver days.
Yes, someday they're going to put the ball I sit on in the Smithsonian.
So I followed your instructions regarding my Windows 8.1 to 10 upgrade. Waited for it to download everything and tell me it was good to go.
That's a relief. Okay.
Did the upgrade. Upgrade went great. Yeah. And actually everything else has been working great except Chrome. And what happens is I'm able to launch it and use it, but while using it, it keeps freezing up on me. I can typically make it freeze just by trying to print.
Okay. So there is definitely something going on. I mean, I use Chrome all the time on Windows 10, and I haven't had any problems, but I haven't printed. Maybe I haven't tried that. Let me ask the chat room. Anybody having issues?
No, what I did was I uninstalled it.
Yeah.
And reinstalled it.
Yeah.
And I still got the same problem.
Yeah, of course, that would be the first thing I'd say. Well, you must have a bad install. I think what you might try is disabling extensions in Chrome. Do you have a lot of extensions running?
Only LastPass.
Oh, I love LastPass.
Oh, man, I was so sorry to hear
that. I know.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I really love it.
For right now, I'd stick with it because there isn't anything as good. And we're going to do some research. I'm going to talk to my security guy, Steve Gibson. We'll figure this out.
But before LastPass, they use KeePass. You talked about that. KeePass is all right, but LastPass is so much better.
Yeah. You missed some features. I would say
the other thing I did, just you might be interested, is I figured, okay, so Chrome's unreliable. I'll try out this new Edge.
Yeah.
And Edge was nice until I found
out LastPass doesn't work. Hey, I got to run. Hold on a second. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, I would try turning. Sorry about that. We had to get to the news, but I'm still here and you're still here.
No extension support.
I would say turn off extensions. I'm not sure what's going on. How much RAM do you have? Chrome does use a lot of memory.
Oh man, it's a new desktop that I just built. It got 32.
Oh, that's not the problem.
It's a top of the line Intel processor, 15960X.
Gosh, I wonder.
It's an Asus X99 Deluxe motherboard.
Yeah, I don't.
I did a lot of searching on Google. I couldn't find anybody else that had the problem.
Yeah.
So it's one of those something about my setup, I guess.
I think it is. I haven't had any problems. I have other problems with Windows 10, but not that one. So here's a PC Guy 8088 in the chat room says uninstall and delete or rename user data folder. It may be you've got something corrupt in there.
I didn't delete any folders.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, persistent across installs, and if that's causing the problem, it might. Burke in our office says Chrome print from the system dialog just sucks. Okay, I would agree with that. Even on a Macintosh, I've had issues.
Thing I've noticed is the other thing that seems to reliably cause it to freeze is closing out a tab. If I got multiple tabs open and close one tab, that seems to do it as well.
Interesting. So it's not just printing.
And it does print, but what happens is I launch the print, and then the print window won't go away, and then Chrome's dead, and I have to...
It does sound like memory issues, frankly. And you have the latest Chrome, of course.
Yep. I check that every time before I go to use it, just to see if that...
Enough. You're not using... are you using third-party security software?
McAfee.
Oh! Get rid of that.
Okay.
You don't need that. So McAfee, on Windows 10, it comes with Windows Defender, which is Microsoft's antivirus. That's more than sufficient. McAfee, I would get rid of. I would uninstall that. In fact, I would go to the Intel's site and get the McAfee uninstalling program, which goes a little farther than the uninstall you'll find in Programs and Features.
You think Defender is sufficient, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Antivirus isn't going to help you much these days because most of these exploits are zero-day and the antivirus doesn't even know about it.
Can I ask another question, different subject?
Sure.
It's about VPN. So I got private internet access so I can use it on my phone when I, are outside in public Wi-Fis.
Yep.
Just for protection. Works great. I have a friend that's currently on business in China, and I had set it up for her.
Great.
To try to circumvent the censorship.
Yeah.
She's able to text message me, but she can't use Facebook.
Yeah.
She hasn't been able to send me any pictures or anything, and she can't get PIA to work. And I was just wondering.
Well, they're probably blocking those ports. In my opinion, it's a mistake to try to do that because you're just calling attention to yourself.
Yeah.
And she's a guest in the country. I would just say, I can't do Facebook while I'm there. That's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
when I went to China, it's funny because when I arrived, Twitter and Facebook were working but they had a uprising in Mongolia at the time. And so by the time I'd left, they'd turned both off. And what I had set up, knowing that this might be an issue with the Great Firewall of China at the time, was I used a service called Posterous, which has since gone under, that allowed you to email updates. And they can't block, and they won't block email. So I was emailing, and she can do this with a blog. There are a variety of things. She probably can even email. I bet you can email updates to Facebook. Just use email.
Okay.
And that way you're updating it. You can't read the update, but you can send it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I emailed updates. I was able to get all everything out. You could tweet. I could do everything via email. And so
is Posterix?
Well, Posterix is gone, unfortunately.
Oh,
they got
okay.
purchased and they went away. But almost everything, Squarespace, for instance, allows you to post via email. Almost everything will let you do that. And that way, you're not insulting your hosts. You're not saying, I'm going to get around your system. Okay. And obviously, they figured out a way to block that. They're probably blocking certain ports.
Yeah, I had her try different regions, but she said no matter which one, she just couldn't
Isn't
get it to work.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, of course, China, the Chinese intellectuals, the intelligentsia, the middle class and upper class know how to get around the Great Firewall. You know, it's probably not. I wouldn't, as a tourist or a visitor, I probably wouldn't try to. It just seems like that's asking for trouble. Just use email. And yeah, I would take off the McAfee. Security software often can cause issues.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah, you don't need McAfee on Windows 10. I don't think it does anything but cause problems. Any antivirus at this point. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Okay, now I've got a conundrum. So I stupidly was doing the Fast Ring Windows Insider on this Windows 10 system. And it updated to the point where the Wi-Fi stopped working. Now I want to go back. I want to stop Insider builds, but I can't do it because in order to do that, you have to get online. I can't do anything. I can't update it. I can't downdate it. I can't do anything because it broke the internet. Oy. Do not use an Dr. Flay. Cuckoo. Do not use an internet. Really, don't use a free antivirus. Rather, do not use a free antivirus under any circumstances. You don't need an antivirus, Dr. Flay. You're confused. And whatever you do, don't read the reviews of antiviruses on AV sites. It's very old info. Out of date. Oh, Wired. I forgot I can do that. I can just plug an Ethernet cable. Do we have any Ethernet ports? Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, and all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Website is techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. Back we go to the phones. And Fallbrook, California, Ron is on the line. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, hi. I have a MacBook Pro 13-inch. And I have an iPhone 4S.
Okay.
I really like those, but I mean, I originally started with a Trio phone, or before that, I had one of those Panasonics with a big battery and a phone on top.
Wow.
Anyway, I like my MacBook Pro, and I like my Trio. I mean, I like my
iPhone. Yeah.
But every time that they do an upgrade. I have an awful lot of problems. I bought my MacBook Pro 13 maybe just a few months before they did Yosemite. So I did an upgrade for Yosemite, and it really messed with my pictures. It got rid of my key photos. You know how you can arrange pictures by changing the dates to fool it, and you can get the pictures right in there.
I know. This was the iPhoto to Photos mess.
And so I went in there and I uninstalled Yosemite and got back, and so I'm happy the way it is.
Okay.
Now that's with the MacBook Pro. Of course, every day they ask me to change it. They don't give me a choice. I have to answer them or it freezes. Now then on my iPhone, the 4S, I'm happy with that. But every time I say to do an upgrade, they messed with me. The last time I did upgrade, which was recent, it turned off my cloud for my calendar. So at first I said, I don't have a calendar. But
I'm going to cut through this.
Go ahead.
The problem with doing it, using Apple stuff, and I love Apple stuff, is you have to do it their way. That's the fact.
Well, what happens if I don't? How long do I have?
Well, they're going to bug you. They're going to do what they're doing. You'll have forever.
Right.
I mean, people using System 7 out there. But this is the nature of the Apple ecosystem is we know best. do it our way, and it makes it, and they make it very difficult for somebody who doesn't want to do it their way.
Well, I wouldn't mind doing it their way if it didn't require much work on the changes. Would you take my pictures? I bought my.
I know that's frustrating. I agree. Yeah,
and I don't want to spend days and hours trying to straighten up. I don't want to do that. You know?
I know. I understand, and this is why many of us use Android and Windows.
Oh, okay. So I maybe should consider.
Well, I mean, Apple, listen to these people. Because Apple used to be a little bit more friendly to hobbyists, enthusiasts. But I think that they saw the path, and it all started with the iPhone, the realization that they could be a consumer electronics company. They dropped the word computer from the company name. It's just Apple, not Apple Computer anymore. And the reason is they decided to become a consumer electronics company. When you're dealing with 180 million iPhone users, the easiest thing to do is to just channel them down a path. And you note, by the way, that with iOS 9, they already have 50% adoption rate. iPhone, Apple users basically go with the flow. And that, frankly, is the best way to do it. Just use it the way Apple says, and you'll have fewer problems. I don't, you know, that's not how I would like computing to be, but it does make it easier for most people. And unfortunately, you know, the iPhotos to Photos thing, the transition is not painless, but it shouldn't be super painful. I think you might want to learn, read up a little bit on that transition. I mentioned iMore, imore.com before. They're a great site. They've actually started to become a great place to go for reference material. And they have a good series of articles on iPhotos or iPhoto 2 Photos and how to use Photos best. Photos, I also had issues with Photos. Some of the transitional stuff was, I got messages that were baffling. But ultimately, it did suck up all my stuff. The other option is not to continue to use Photos or iPhotos, but to use a third-party program. Google's Photos is actually quite good and I think does a good job of or automatically organizing your stuff. You might look at another program, but if you're going to go Apple's way, you're going to go with the flow because they just don't have a lot of room for other ideas. For instance, iCloud. You know, iCloud works fine as long as you use iCloud exactly as Apple wants you to. And the minute you don't, you know, you're fighting an uphill battle. You can use third-party programs. You don't have to, you know, on a Macintosh particularly, you don't have to use Photos. You can, and I would certainly look at Google Photos. I would look at, you know, Lightroom. You can get that for $10 a month with Photoshop as a subscription to the Adobe Creative Cloud. Lightroom is a fantastic organizational tool. And then you can read up. There's another place for good information, Tidbits, TIDBITS.com. Tidbits is the longest running Macintosh publication. And they do a very good series of electronic books, e-books, called the Take Control series. And you might want to look at Take Control of Photos. And they do a good job of kind of explaining the path. The path you must follow for Apple Nirvana. You know, I use Macs. I really do. I love the Macintosh desktop. I love the iPad. I love the iPhone. But when you use it, you have to recognize that Apple is a little bit paternalistic, a lot paternalistic. They want you to do it their way. They want you to do it their way. And increasingly, I feel increasingly paternalistic, and I think that's unfortunate. I understand why it happens. I think if you're a computer company, it's a challenge. Because when you make something open and flexible, you also make it complicated. And I think most users just want it to be easy. And so Apple's decided we're going to appeal to those users, the computer for the rest of us. We're going to make it just easy, won't give you a lot of choices, we'll tell you how it should run, we'll make it more secure. At the same time, you know, some of us who know better or know other choices are chafe a little bit at this. And it can really bite you when you have something like a transition from iPhotos to Photos. Apple knows this is a hard thing. I wish they had done it better. But it was something they decided, I don't know why, we're going to kill iPhotos. We're going to move everybody forcibly to Photos. and stop quit your belly aching. They say, just do it. You know, I could go on and on. I should probably stop. Did you, by the way, did you, September 29th was the 3-month deadline for many of you who tried Apple Music out of the box. Did you renew? Did you know if you didn't turn off renewal, you renewed? You got a little bill for $10 in your Apple account there. That's happened. If you sign up for Apple Music as soon as it became available, which was like June 29th, right? Early July. Then it's right about now that your 3 months is up, and they will start billing you. So if you don't want it, go into your iTunes, go into subscriptions, and uncheck that auto-renew for Apple Music. I did, because I'm a Spotify fan. I like Spotify. Nothing wrong with Apple Music. I just like Spotify. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. If you have a question, a comment, suggestion, I'd love to hear from you. Another 45 minutes to go on the Tech Guy Show, and that means there's plenty of time for you. Our next call will be Jonathan in Georgia, and he's got a suggestion for recording at over-the-air television. Yay. Oh, and I know what he's going to say. It's a good suggestion. Stay tuned. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. I feel the need for speed, Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. We're talking about the Blue Angels in San Francisco's Fleet Week. Every October, first week in October, the fleet comes in. Does the fleet actually come in?
There are ships out there, yeah, and there are plenty of sailors and Navy.
Well, I know that they used to. I don't know if they still do this. Was it the Spend a Night with a Sailor program? What was it called? it was something like that. You know what I'm saying? You can invite a sailor to come home for a nice home-cooked meal and stuff like that. I think they still do that. But it was always fun. But the fun part, of course, the Blue Angels, the Navy demo squadron, does their flyover of San Francisco. And I was in town on Friday, and they were rehearsing, as you were too,
yeah,
Kim,
yeah.
Schaffer.
I had to leave the office to go watch them.
I know. It's pretty cool. And then I saw on your Facebook page you have a picture with your arm around one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently you took a sailor home.
No,
he's the flight surgeon.
I would have liked to, but yeah, I don't think his wife would have been very happy about
they're
that.
They're very cute. And they're in their flight suits. They're good looking.
And
you know what it
and
is?
They work out 6 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
So
they have
he's
to.
He's solid. I put my arm around him, and there's not an ounce of fat.
Well, they don't wear flight suits. Now, normally you'd wear pressure suits because you're taking all those G's. It's easy to black out. And you really don't want to black out when you're flying 100 million miles an hour.
Right.
But these guys are so macho, so studly, that they don't wear pressure suits. They just clench.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need to be in really good shape. The reason that you wear a pressure suit is to keep the blood from all going to your head,
right,
and blacking out. And they don't apparently need to do that. They have such good muscle control. They just keep the blood where it is.
Yeah, it's in their contract to work out 6 days a week. Among a lot of other things.
I bet there's a few things.
Like a 40-page contract.
Yeah. Very interesting. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. I guess it's today, right, that the big event went on?
I was there yesterday in
was
the
it
city
yesterday
and
well?
Today.
Yeah.
Yesterday and today are the big shows.
Cool. We thank all our men and women in the armed forces and the Navy, but all of the armed forces for their service. And they make such a difference in this country. So thank you. Jonathan's on the line from Georgia. Hi, Jonathan. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy.
Hey, Leo.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine. I've been overhearing your call about your calls, and you were talking about the fact that you couldn't record over the air to a computer.
Yeah, we had a caller. He had a Pioneer device that received over the air and allowed him to record it to a hard drive, kind of like a TiVo. And then he wanted to somehow get the data out digitally. He was able to get it out through component connectors, but he wanted HDMI.
Well, what I experience is there's a product, you probably heard of it, Silicon Dust.
Mm-hmm.
They have multiple products. They got like the, I got one of them, it's called the HD Home Run.
Yeah, I haven't tried it. I've got to get one. Because people love this thing. It sounds very popular. Tell me how it works.
Well, there's like different models. There's even one for cable TV. It takes a cable card.
Yeah.
And then there's the one that does over the air. and I got the one that does over the air. And what it does is you plug your cable from your antenna into it, and out comes from it is an Ethernet cable. And then you hook it up to your network, and you can literally watch from almost any time in the device.
That's nice.
Play back.
So basically, it connects all the TVs in your house, your connected devices in the house, to the antenna, so you can watch TV.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, I even have a model that works with the Roku box. It can stream to the Roku box.
Oh, nice. So they have an app for Roku, too. It looks pretty sweet. How much? You have the Home Run Connect. That's, what, $130?
Well, actually, I think I got it for about $100.
Nice. I'm going to have to try this because a lot of people in our chat room have been saying what a great thing this is. You can find out more at SiliconDust.com.
And, and my brother has the one with the cable card slot in it. He put a cable card in it, and he was able to record to Windows Media Center and other recording devices on the network.
Too bad nobody has Windows Media Center anymore. Microsoft discontinued that. Yeah, good choice. Thank you for the tip. It's a pretty cool, thing, I think. Again, I haven't tried it, but enough recommendations have come in that I think it's safe to say take a look at it. SiliconDust.com. Clarence is in Virginia. Hi, Clarence.
Hey, Leo. I feel like I'm talking to family out there.
Well, good. I do, too. You know what? All us geeks are family.
I don't know. I just really enjoy Heather and you and our local priest, and you guys are awesome.
Oh, you're talking about Father Robert Ballasaire, our digital Jesuit. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's great. He's one of our hosts on the podcast network, on the Twit network that we do.
Uh-huh.
We tell advertisers you can't get anybody better to do an ad than Father Robert. I mean, he's a priest. You got to trust him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and my entertainment is my phone through my audio, and I'm talking to you on my brand new Blue Parrot.
Oh, boy, that sounds good. You're not driving right now.
Yeah.
It's dead silent. I don't hear any noise at all. You could be
noise canceling and all that stuff. It works fabulous.
That's a great demo because I hear no road noise. I hear no engine noise. It sounds great.
You didn't hear those bumps I just went over.
I hope they were bumps.
They were just bumps in the road, bridges, potholes.
Okay. Keep your eye on the road. Okay, good.
There you go. I've got a question. I'm trying to decide. I've got this Samsung S4.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about going to the Moto X.
I like the Moto X, but I think if you have a Samsung S4, and if you don't hate Samsung by now, you would love the Galaxy Note 5.
Yeah, my family's telling me to stay with Samsung.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, Samsung, the things that I didn't like about the S4 were all the stuff Samsung had overlaid on top of Android. They've really backed off on that. The camera in the Note 5 is superb. It's the best screen I've ever seen. Has a stylus. You want a big screen because that's your entertainment, too. I bet you watch videos on it too, right?
Yeah.
It's going to look great.
It's big.
Moto X is fine. It's good. But here's a couple of things I like better about the Note 5. Fingerprint reader makes me feel better. It's more secure. Battery life is better. Now, that's probably not an issue for you because you're in the cab. You can keep it charging.
Yeah, it's charging all the time. It's always on charge.
And the screen on the Note 5 is better than the Moto X. Now, here's the Moto X's advantage. A lot less expensive, about almost half as expensive. It does have a very nice screen. It's an LCD screen, but it's a very nice screen. It has the nice little Moto Assist feature where it knows you're driving and you can actually have it say to people, I can't talk right now, I'm driving, things like that. I think that would be important for you. So I do like the Moto X, and I think, of course, the fact you can get a leather or wood back, I mean, it's a beautiful phone. But for feature, if you can spend the difference, you know, it's going to be $300 more, I think, to get a Note 5. I think the Note 5 is fantastic. Oh, one other thing the Moto X has over the Galaxy Note 5, it has an SD card slot, and that's nice if you need to store a lot of data. That is one real advantage over the Note 5. Either one would be great. They're both great phones. We're lucky. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. All right, hold on a second. We want to do one more test of the blue parrot. Are you still there, Clarence?
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay. I'm parked right now.
Can you blow the horn?
I guess so.
Oh, I can hear the horn. All right, but it's not too bad. It's not so noisy. Clarence, I can't tell you how quiet. You hear nothing. It sounds like you're in a. No.
And for me, listening to you, there's no distortion. Everything is clear. It's the B350, the new one. I can listen to my audio from my phone.
Nice.
However I want to do it. My Netflix, I can go into a restaurant or something. I can continue listening.
Isn't that nice?
It's awesome.
Every driver I know swears by these blue parrots. That's the first time we've had a demo of it, and it's amazing. It sounds so good.
It's clear.
Yeah.
It's clear.
Really great.
Okay, cool.
Hey, thanks, Clarence. Go ahead. If you have more questions, we're off the air, but I'm still we're still on the podcast.
Yeah. Friend of our family, he's a senior chief with the Blue Angels.
Oh.
We get tickets.
Oh.
My daughter was just in the base the other day here in Norfolk in Little Creek, actually. And he's retiring this month.
Wow.
And down in Jacksonville. But these guys... I was a hovercraft pilot. I didn't get very high off the ground, about 4 feet. I was an Army sailor.
Yeah.
But these guys are awesome.
The stuff they do, it terrifies me. I mean, they're 18 inches apart, wingtip to wingtip, flying in a perfect formation at hundreds of miles an hour.
Total concentration.
Brilliant. I mean, and when these things, they fly fairly low. I remember watching them out at Fort Point on the beach. And they came in, they can't have been more than a few hundred feet up. It is heart-pounding. It's very exciting to watch. They do a great show if you get a chance to see them.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Take care and have a good... Oh, I really love you guys. You're awesome. My entertainment, Verizon hates that I'm doing 90 to gig, 90 plus.
Oh, my gosh. I
Take
love
care,
it.
Leo.
All right. Keep listening. Thanks, Clarence. See ya.
Bye.
Drive safe. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number. Love talking high tech. I hope you're enjoying your afternoon or your morning, whatever time you're listening. And I'm so glad you're here today. Phil is in Indiana, and he's our next caller. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very, very good. Have an interesting question for you. Probably one you haven't heard of too much.
Oh, come on. I've heard them all. Go ahead. Let's see.
Well, for about 10 days a year, I will take my iMac and go into a barn.
What?
And spend about 10 days in a barn with a lot of animals. Everything seemed to go very...
Wait a minute. What are you doing in the barn?
It is a big livestock show.
Interesting. Okay.
Thousands ahead of livestock.
Are you buying? Are you selling? Are you an auctioneer? What are you doing in there?
I am tech support for a photography company.
Oh, how cool.
For 1 week a year.
Oh, fun. This sounds like fun. So they're taking pictures of the animals?
I sort out about 20,000 to 25,000 photographs and make sure they're all in the right folder.
Wow. I'm guessing you're not using Apple's iPhotos.
No, but I did use Aperture.
Aperture, and they discontinued that too.
That's another story.
Did you move to Lightroom?
Not yet.
I do like Lightroom. Aperture still works, right?
Yeah. Actually, I use it at work.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But my question is, I went last year. I come home. I set my iMac back up, and I looked at the little grill on the back, and it is almost totally clogged.
That's black. Not good. All right, next time, here's what I want you to do.
I pull it all out. My question is there, I don't want to restrict the flow so much
no.
that the air can't move through it.
Next time, here's what I want you to do.
Some type of a filter.
Are you married?
Pardon?
Are you married?
No, sir.
Okay. If you know any women, you might want to get a pair of pantyhose.
Thanks.
No, for the computer. It's finer than the mesh over the grill there, but it's still open enough to let air flow through. Stretch some pantyhose material over the intakes on the Macintosh. And that will make a better filter than the filter it's got. Now, you probably could go to some sort of industrial supply store and get some sort of, you know, better filter, or you could keep it in a box or something. But I think pantyhose is going to work pretty good. You might need some tape to tape it down, but that's going to filter out a lot more of that dust and dirt. How about it?
You know, we'll try it.
You know, you were right. I'd never heard that question before, and I think that's the first time I've ever had to give that answer. But I know it'll work.
We will sure try it, and I will let you know.
Would you get back to me and let me know?
And actually, I've been listening to you since your Dev Null days.
Oh my! Now that goes back a ways. That was the virtual character that I played on MSNBC's show, The Site. It was a show that only ran for a year and a half on MSNBC, the very beginning of MSNBC in the mid-90s. And I was a virtual reality character, and the great Soledad O'Brien was our anchor, and she would talk to me. She would be sitting at a coffee bar, except she wasn't looking at me. She was looking at a piece of blue tape on the wall, because I was down the hall in a special room constructed with sound blankets, wearing a rubber suit with dots on it, and I had puppeteers and the whole thing. So got me an Emmy Award, but that's the only good that ever came out of it. I'm glad you watched. Hey, it's great to talk
to you.
Thank
you so much, Leo.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, pantyhose, or stocking material. I don't know. Do the ladies still wear pantyhose? I don't even know. No, that's gone by the wayside. But you can still wear stockings. You could use the finest you could find. You know, support hose, I think, would probably give you a finer mesh, but it might not let enough air through. So that's the trick, is to find what would let enough air through. But duct tape and pantyhose, that's all you need in life, right? 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. Sylvia's on the line, Corona, California. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, Leo.
Hey.
Could you please help me? I need to purchase a computer for beginners. Can you recommend?
A good computer for beginners.
Just computer.
And it's for business?
No. For kind of home use.
Email and the internet, things like that.
Yeah.
Maybe keeping some budgets, stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
I can recommend that. First of all, let's not spend a lot of money. In the past, I've usually said, don't be too cheap, because a computer that's inexpensive will be more work, and you don't want more work. You want something that's going to work well. But now, there's a very good choice, not just for beginners, but really for a lot of people who don't need to buy a full-blown Macintosh or Windows machine. And it comes from Google. It's called a Chromebook. And a number of companies make them. Samsung makes some very nice ones. Dell is making some new ones that are even nicer still. But you could go to any store that sells computers, Best Buy or anything like that. They'll have Chromebooks. You could take a look. It's got a keyboard. Okay. It's not a huge screen, but it's probably big enough for you. They're very compact. Here's the advantages from your point of view. They're as simple as a computer can be. All you can use is a browser. And while you'll still have to learn how to use that, I mean, it's not, you know, it's you're going to have to learn a little bit how to use it, but anybody can show you how to use a browser. But everything you do is in that browser. So once you learn how to use that one piece of software, you know how to do everything. It's very secure. If something goes wrong, it has a feature called Power Wash, which you're going to love. It just brings it right back to the way it was before, and everything's better. So then they're under $500. They're very affordable.
Okay, great.
All right?
Okay, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Sylvia. I'm so glad you called. For beginners, I think this is easily the best choice. Now, there are computers for seniors, we've seen. They run a special version of Linux with big buttons and stuff. But they're much more expensive, and I think that they maybe are more than you really need. I think a Chromebook is really, frankly, a better choice for more people than would like to admit it. You can do almost everything that you want on a Chromebook. 8888-ASK-LEO. Jerry in Idaho, you're next. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Leo. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
I'm actually not from Idaho, from Southern California. My wife and I travel full-time in a motorhome, and I've been trying to resolve some wireless technical issues, watch TV, connect to the internet, lots of problems associated with that.
Especially in an RV, because you're moving around.
all the time.
Do you have a dish? Is that how you connect?
It's easy to eat up a lot of data, too, and we're having to buy it now versus having, like, a cable internet
pass. So you're using a 3G device or a cell phone device.
Typically, or 4G, my phone. It's related to my phone. I walked into an Apple dealer here a couple of weeks ago, and I was asking him about Apple TV because we want to stream Netflix. And my AT&T phone is one of the earlier ones where I have unlimited data. And so I was hoping to run Netflix right into my TV via Apple TV.
Yeah.
And it crashed. It won't do it for some reason.
It's probably not fast enough.
It's an issue, huh?
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. Does it sometimes work or does it just never work?
No, it never works. And I have the most recent Apple iPhone, too.
It is possible that AT&T is blocking it. Can you watch Netflix on your iPhone?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem there.
No problem. It's only when you're using tethering. You've paid AT&T for tethering capability, right?
I do not have tethering.
Oh, you're using AirPlay.
Yes.
I got it.
There's no way to tether my phone. I'm not, like I said, I have unlimited data, and if I change the plan to tether.
Any excuse to get you off that unlimited plan. AirPlay 2, an Apple TV, and can you do other streaming things besides Netflix?
I have no problem streaming. I just can't get it to go through Apple TV for some reason.
Hang on. Let's see if we can solve this one. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Oh, man, meetings.
Should he get a Chromecast instead? Maybe that would work. Why is it not working? It's got to be, well, a couple of things. I mean, maybe that AT&T doesn't want you to do that. But I don't see how they would know. You're airplaying it.
That's what I thought.
It's got to be.
I tried Chromecast, and I even bought a Roku trying to do it.
Well, it won't work with Chromecast either?
Yeah, Chromecast won't work either.
And it just never gets started?
It never goes up on the TV. Now, I connect my phone, you know, with a lightning connector, and it plays beautifully that way, but I can't do it wirelessly. It just won't go.
But the other AirPlay stuff does work?
I can play, I was watching you.
Twit works. You can AirPlay Twit.
Yeah, I can AirPlay Twit. I can play music. I can do YouTube. But the minute I try and do Netflix, it won't go through.
'Tis a puzzlement.
Yes, it is.
Because we're not any less demanding than Netflix is. So that's not going to be bandwidth. I haven't used Netflix with AirPlay, but I presume that would. Do you think AirPlay is blocked by Netflix? So if I'm AirPlaying, do we have our? Let me turn on. Maybe Netflix prohibits it. Do you think that's possible? Okay, let me start streaming something from Netflix on my iPhone. And then I'm going to turn on Netflix blocks AirPlay. It's in fact something Netflix doesn't allow. That's what the chat room's telling me. That's a copy protection thing, I guess. No, wait a minute. See, it says now playing on your TV. What does Crucial Wax say?
I AirPlay to Netflix all the time.
Oh, wait a minute. Error. Cannot play movie. Please try again later. But Crucial Wax, you use AirPlay, Crucial Wax, and our chat room says, but do you use AirPlay on an iPhone to a TV, to an Apple TV? Is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, somebody in the chat room says he does it all the time, but now I'm getting the error message that says, here we go. Wow, Arthur Godfrey has the answer. He says, disabling IPv6 fixes Netflix and AirPlay issues on Apple TV. You'll have to do that in your settings, I presume, on not the Apple TV, but I presume on the phone. Where do I see IPv6? Where would those settings be in general? So this is apparently a problem. Apple TV Hacks has the information. Let's go look at this. Wow, this is thanks to that chat room. It's apparently, you know, disabling IPv6 fixes other things. So this guy used Wireshark. So you need to launch. Well, this says on your airport. You must have an airport in there, right?
Yes. No, actually, no. I don't have an airport.
You have some other router, though.
Yeah, but my understanding is I shouldn't have to run it through a router in order to get to ITV or TV, Apple TV.
Well, you do have to be on the same network, some network.
Okay.
I mean, how are you? I mean, you both have to be on the same Wi-Fi to use AirPlay, right?
Well, what I have is an AT&T mobile phone.
Yeah.
And it's a router built into it. And I connect that in my system. It doesn't reach out into the internet.
No.
But
you have, do you have an internet network? Hold on a second. We'll get on the air here.
Okay.
So this fix probably won't work. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, this is great. We're having some fun trying to diagnose this. Jerry is on the line. He's got a interesting issue. He's using Netflix on his iPhone. He's in an RV, and he wants to AirPlay it to the Apple TV and put it up on his big screen TV. He can do that with a variety of other video sources, but for some reason, Netflix doesn't work. We thought we might have had the solution. There is a link on the website, and by the way, thanks to Arthur Godfrey V2 in our chat room for this answer. He pointed us to appletvhacks.net. Apparently, there is a known issue playing Netflix on an Apple TV, but the issue is with the Apple router, which you don't have. So, Jerry, I don't know if this is related or not, but it says that if you disable IPv6 in the airport utility, that Netflix suddenly starts working again. It might be related. You're using just Wi-Fi Direct, it sounds like, playing directly to your TV.
That's what I'm trying to do, yeah.
Yeah. Another,
Apple told me, the genius in the front of the store, I thought he told me that would work.
Here's one more. And this is again from Arthur Godfrey V2. Turn off AirPlay mirroring.
I've tried that.
Doesn't work. Man, you've stumped all the experts in the chat room here. The mirroring setting is in the AirPlay setting. When you swipe up from below, and you pick which AirPlay device. There's a switch for mirroring. That means merely that the screen from the phone is what you see. You see the full interface on your TV.
Right.
Okay. Well, we've tried both solutions that are known. I would take a look at this website, though. This seems like a good resource, appletvhacks.net.
Okay.
You tried it with a Chromecast, same problem.
Yeah, Chromecast won't display Netflix either.
I have a feeling there's something going on. The fact that these two fixes work tells me that maybe getting Netflix to work on an Apple TV is a little wonky. But, you know, we'll just keep working on it. Pay attention to the website, techguylabs.com. You know, you're now a section on there. Just go to today's show and go to hour 3 and go to your call, and you'll see. Well, anybody has any suggestions or ideas, go there and comment, and maybe we can help Jerry get this working. We've been trying. We've tried a lot of good things. Wow. Sandy, Santa Barbara, our next caller. Hi, Sandy. Hey, Sandy.
Hello.
I don't hear him. I don't hit him at all. So I tell you what, I think I know how to do this. I press this button. I press the whole button. That didn't work. I press the whole button, and then I press this button. That worked. No, now he's on the air. Hi, Sandy. Nope, that didn't work. Press the hold button. Now he's held it. Let's go to the next call. Maybe you should check with him, make sure he doesn't pass out there, Kim. Christy in Tustin, California. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Leo. I acquired by a friend actually giving me her iPhone 5S because she was going to upgrade. And she was with AT&T. And that was just an amazing gift. However, the phone I'm on right now is the Sprint. Now it's unlocked. She had her phone unlocked.
Yeah, but they use different technologies.
Yes. Well, the interesting thing is Sprint technical services. Oh, no problem. But when I went online and started using Google, it talked about that whole
CDMA versus GSM thing. Yeah, a newer iPhone, you would be able to use it, I believe.
This is a 5S.
That's pretty new. Is there a SIM card in that phone?
You know, I don't know, but I called Sprint again and talked to a gal that called the store support, and she got back and she said, bad news, you can't bring it over. So my question is if that's totally true, now I'm dealing with the GSM, which is T-Mobile, or staying with the AT&T. Do you have any strong feelings for one or another for here in North Orange County, California?
You got to check. I don't know what it's going to be like there. I use T-Mobile in Northern California. It's fantastic. T-Mobile tends to do better in urban areas. They don't have quite the network. Frankly, Sprint's network's not great either. I got an idea, though. Coverage. You know, there are some other things you can do. There are MVNOs. These are mobile virtual network operators. And they will work with, in some cases, both Sprint and T-Mobile.
Oh.
Google has a service called Google Fi. Now, it's invite only right now, but you could request an invite. It's actually the most affordable service out there. You pay $20 for voice and unlimited text, and then $10 a gigabyte. And you only pay for what you use.
And what is it? What's it called? Google what?
It's fi.google.com. Fi. Short for fidelity, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
And this is an interesting choice because when T-Mobile's best, it'll use T-Mobile. When Sprint is best, it will use Sprint. And that's kind of a nice way to do it. You don't have an account with Sprint. You don't have an account with T-Mobile. You just have an account with Google. They're reselling that service. There are other services that do similar things, ting.com. But the real problem is that phone, and again, this has changed, but it's of enough vintage that it hadn't changed by then, I guess. That phone is designed for a CDMA network. I'm sorry, for a GSM network, and will not work on a CDMA network.
Wow.
I know. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think T-Mobile's better than Sprint.
Well, here's the deal. I've been with Sprint forever because I've had the same phone forever.
Yeah, why not?
Why not switch over?
T-Mobile has some very... I'll tell you why I like T-Mobile. First of all, like Avis, they're number two, so they try harder. Actually, they're number four, so they try harder. And so they've grown immensely by being the, quote, uncarrier. And while some of that is marketing hype, some of it's legit. For instance... They don't charge you at all for almost any music service. Doesn't cost against your bandwidth. So if you listen to Spotify or Pandora or Apple Music, it doesn't cost you bandwidth, which is great. They also have very aggressive plans. For instance, they have, and you'll have to search for it. It's in the pay-as-you-go section. A $30 a month plan that gives you, if you don't make a lot of phone calls, 100 minutes of phone calls, which is not a lot, but it gives you unlimited data and texting. For people like me, I don't make many phone calls. I mostly use my phone as a data and texting device. So $30 a month, that's a great deal. T-Mobile is very aggressive in pricing. They have true unlimited data. I've been very happy with them. It's going to come down to whether they work where you are.
How is their customer service?
Excellent.
You have to call with an issue.
Again, you want to go with the little guy only because they have to be better than Verizon and AT&T. Sprint's one of the little guys. T-Mobile's even littler. What I would do is go to a T-Mobile store, a company store in your area, and say, I want to see how good you are. I need to try this before I buy. They have 100% guarantee, satisfaction guarantee. They are not an advertiser. They're getting this for free. But I've been a very happy customer. If they work well in your area, I would have no hesitation to move to T-Mobile from Sprint.
So they will let you try before you buy?
Absolutely. All of them will.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, bring your 5S in and say, look, guys, I want to try this. Give me a SIM. And you'll have to go through some rigmarole, but they will. And you can do it for a couple of weeks, and then bring it back and say, it didn't work. And they say, okay, fine, thanks. I would try that. They're very good about porting over phones from other carriers. That'd be my recommendation. Christy, nice to talk to you. Hey, thanks for visiting us, everybody. See you next time. Have a great Geek Week. Leo Laporte.
The Tech Guy.
Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts For this show, we talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today and Tech News Tonight. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.